Thank you, Bethany. Good to have you back. Yeah, very good. Well, welcome, church. How was your 4th of July? Everybody still got all their fingers? Good, good, good to hear. How was camping? Yeah, you were out camping last week because you weren't here. Okay, it was just me alone up here preaching to an empty room. I'm just kidding. Hope you had a wonderful, wonderful holiday. If you weren't here last week, you missed a lot of fun. Rob Molesky and I raced each other to put all in all our bunker gear. But if you did miss it, don't worry. We're going to be releasing a calendar later this year. Make a great stocking stuffer. My fire department t-shirt of the week, if you've been paying attention, I've been wearing a different shirt that I've been gifted from different fire departments. This one came from a firefighter in Chiapas, Mexico, which is about as far south as you can get in Mexico, way down by the Guatemalan border. I met a firefighter named Ignacio, and he gave me this shirt from their training academy in Mexico. In Spanish, the word for firefighter is bomberos, which is awesome. Is that a cool name, bomberos? But you pray for Ignacio if you have room on your prayer list. He lost his 28-year-old daughter to COVID, and he is suffering from cancer himself. So if you can think about it, pray for Ignacio and the bomberos in Chiapas. We are continuing our sermon series through Fighting Fire, which is based out of Ephesians 6. So if you have your Bibles, turn over there. And because we were a little thin last week, I'm going to start with a little bit of a recap of what our message was last week. We said that there are three types of people on every fire scene. Three types of people. There are the victim, the bystander, and the rescuer. And we're going to continue this theme because we were looking at the six pieces of armor that come out of Ephesians 6. And we said this last week, that whether you're a victim or a rescuer depends not on inherent physical qualities that you have, but it has everything to do with your mindset, your preparation, and using the tools at your hand. And some of us, the challenge was last week, that some of us have been going through life an awful lot like the victim, where things keep happening to us, and our spiritual life is nothing but us reacting to some of the things that happen to us, and we're just trying to survive. You were not made to survive. You were not made to even be a passerby, a bystander. Someone who rubbernecks, who watches life go by, and maybe things are okay for you, but you watch maybe some of the hardships that other people are going through, or you maybe even are just kind of really passive when it comes to your walk even with Jesus. You weren't meant to be a passerby either. You weren't meant to be a bystander who's passive. We were meant to gear up and win. We were made to put on the armor and be conquerors. And some of us don't feel like conquerors today. So as we looked at our passage, we really started looking at the six different pieces of armor that Ephesians 6 tells us to put on. We started with, in fact, I'm just going to go ahead and read this real quick. I'm going to read the passage. I'm going to start reading maybe verse 13. It says, "For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, having prepared everything to take your stand." To take your stand. So how'd you do this week? Did you take your stand? Or did you watch life pass you by? He goes on to say, Stand, therefore, with the truth around your belt, the truth like a belt around your waist. And we talked about how the belt is given to us to make us tactical. Like, we put on the belt of truth. We take God's word and we put it in our heart. We memorize it. We need to have it on the forefront of our thoughts so that we can be ready to respond tactically. Tactically means that we are ready to respond with agility. Now, many of us face different things in our life. And we go, what am I supposed to do with this? What's the decision that I'm supposed to make as it relates to this thing? And what we don't have is we don't have God's word at the forefront of our mind so that we can respond to that situation with agility. Life comes at us fast, and if we're not prepared and in the right mindset with truth, which has made us tactical, able to respond with agility, we will get taken advantage of it. You can, by knowing the truth and having God's word in your heart, you can respond with agility. That means you can share truth quickly with those who need it. You can avoid deception on your own. You can recognize when the enemy is lying to you. It protects us from the deceptive schemes of Satan. And thirdly, it helps us when we're tactical, when we know God's word, we have the truth around us, we're able to respond when we're in trouble, when temptation has overtaken us, when the enemy's deceptions have come to attack us. If we have truth holding it all together, we're able to respond with agility. The second thing that we talked about was we referred it to as the bunker coat and pants, the actual garment, because the passage goes on to say, put righteousness like armor on your chest. Righteousness or right living is something every believer is called to put on. In fact, the Word of God says that when we accepted Jesus, he handed us righteousness to put on. He said, here, I want you to live right. And the reason why he told us to live right, to put on that, why living right is like armor that protects us, is because it protects our heart. By living right, we protect our heart and we live in such a way that it protects us. When we live right and we do the things that God asks us to do, it protects us from the pain that comes from sin's deception. When we act accordingly to what Scripture says, when we face temptation, that is armor for us. It protects us from sin's pain. Sin has consequences. And I grew up a little Baptist boy going to camp and Sunday school and VBS and all the things. And, you know, it would have been easy to think sin, that God was just all about rules. All these things that the Bible just said, hey, don't do this and don't do this and don't do this. And think that God was some cosmic killjoy out to ruin my time. But as if I've walked through life now, going through my adolescent years, going through my college years, going through my young adult years, now a middle-aged man with a family raising teenagers of his own, I step back and I look and I thank God. I thank God. And it was his movement in my life that I was able to avoid an awful lot of the baggage and guilt and shame and destructive behavior that a lot of my peers walk through. God isn't out to ruin our time. God's out to save us from sin's destructiveness. That's why we wear righteousness like an armor. Live right. It will protect you. Thirdly, we talked about fire boots. We compared the passage goes on to say, have your feet sandaled with the readiness for the gospel of peace. You and I are called to go, like putting on the gospel, like boots on our feet. You and I are called to be rescuers, and the tool of our rescue is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are called to take the gospel to people who are lost and dying and in need of help and bring the gospel to them and save them. But the sad, unfortunate reality is people's lives are messy. As we walk through people's lives, we realize that we're stepping into messy situations. That somebody coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to surrendering their heart to Jesus, they often have to walk through a lot of doubt and fear and guilt and shame. And you and I are to hold the gospel so tightly to our hearts that when we walk through that, we see every situation and we go, you know, the answer to this is Jesus. Folks, if you're in this room this morning and you're constantly struggling with attack, you're going, I have been the victim. You're constantly struggling with pain and shame and guilt over and over again. Let me tell you something. There's a God in heaven who sent his son Jesus to die for you, who created you in his image, has a wonderful plan for your life, who wants to use you, who wants to restore you, who wants to make you whole so that you can in turn turn around and help others going through the same situation. Every single one of us has a story of redemption. And if we've surrendered our hearts to Jesus and accepted that free gift of salvation, then we are called to turn around and go, because other people are lost and dying in the same shame and guilt and pain of sin. Folks, if God has been good to you, give it away. You and I must go, and that means walking into the messy reality of other people's lives. The third piece of armor was the shield. It says, take the shield of faith by which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. When we learn to really trust God, our faith provides a valuable tool for staying grounded and allowing us to confidently progress into a deeper relationship with Him as we navigate a life filled with the enemy's attacks and lies. Faith provides a foundation upon which Christians build our lives and make sense of the world's complexities. By nurturing and developing a deep walk with Jesus, Christians deepen our understanding of God's character, the promises, and His unfailing love. Through prayer, meditation, and the study of Scripture, believers reinforce our faith, ensuring that it remains steadfast when faced with doubts and uncertainties. Folks, we need to walk deeper and closer with our Savior. Because when we do, when the enemy attacks us, it's like a shield. Our faith, our vital walk with the Creator, when the enemy comes at us with deception and says those little lies, the first lie that Satan ever told mankind was, did God really say? Is God really good? And through the course of humanity, his tactic has remained the same. He comes to us and attacks us, those flaming darts of deception, where he says, is God really good? And folks, some of us in this room are going through some really tough stuff. And the number one way the enemy is going to come at you when you're walking through painful situations is to sneak into your brain and go, is God really that good? But those of us that have a vital relationship with the Savior, walk with him daily, we understand, we look back at the ways that God has saved us in the past, how he's preserved us to this point, and we have an unwavering faith that yes, God is good, and he'll save me from this as well. Okay? It erases fear, doubts, and helps us to see spiritual attacks for what it is. So our next piece of armor that we're going to look at today, it goes on in that passage, and it says this, take the helmet of salvation. Now, in the fire service, we have a lot of traditions, some good and some bad. Like an example of a bad tradition would be, it always was for the old timers a badge of honor to never clean your gear, right? When you saw some salty, dusty old firefighter with one big old nasty handlebar mustache wearing some nasty old gear, it looks like it had, you just rolled around in the soot with it. You went, yeah, there's a real man. Guess what? What they found out was there's a reason why the life expectancy for firefighters was a solid decade less than the general public. It's because all those carcinogens cause cancer. Firefighters are notorious for dying of cancer. So that was an example of a bad tradition. One of the great traditions of the fire service is related to the next piece of our armor, which is our helmet. For a firefighter, the helmet, the traditional firefighting helmet, is a piece of high honor. It's a part of the tradition that we hold very, very closely. It was designed over 200 years ago in New York by a firefighter, and I forget what his name. Now, there is a push to replace the traditional firefighting helmet with these goofy-looking European-style helmets. Next thing you know, they're going to take away our fire trucks and help make us respond on mopeds. That doesn't look like a firefighter. It looks like it should be shot out of a cannon. You can have my helmet over my dead cold body. There's a reason why helmets were designed the way they are. Traditional firefighting helmets are designed the way they are, and it's steeped in tradition. It's also why every time I leave a fire department, I ask them if I can have my helmet. And I've gotten to keep all my helmets from the different departments I've been on. The firefighting helmet is, there's some really advantages to the way that it's designed. The obvious advantage is it protects our head from falling stuff, which happens a lot, especially when we're doing overhaul in a fire, a house that's been burned out. We have to go through and look for all the hot spots. So we use things like pike poles and stuff to pull down the ceiling. So there's a lot of danger of stuff falling on our heads. The original ones were designed with leather. These are made with a polycarbonate. You can tell they're ridged. They have a suspension system in them to keep them comfortable. But the obvious advantage, it keeps stuff from falling on our heads. The firefighting helmet is unlike any other helmet that you would ever see anyone wear in this. Its design looks a little strange. It has on the back this duck bill. The purpose of the duck bill is there's an awful lot of times where soot, raining debris, burning stuff falls on us. This directs it away from our bodies. So when it falls on the helmet, it goes away off the back. The Europeans don't have that, so apparently they're not doing real work, I guess. One of the big pieces of this helmet that's super important is it provides identification. In a big, bold way, it declares who we are, who I'm with, what my radio number is, and what department I'm serving with. I'd like to point out that when I joined Ravenna Fire Department, I was issued the radio number 1. I don't know what that means yet. I'm going to find out. But more importantly than that, the firefighting helmet is a symbol of strength and pride. There's really no reason why there's always an eagle on top of it other than morale. It's designed to help us remember who we are. It's designed to tell everybody who we are. And it's a symbol of strength and steadfastness. Firefighters, and rightfully so, are a group of people that take joy and pride in their dedication and sacrifice and service for their communities. And there's no better illustration and symbol of that than the helmet. Here's why this is illustrative of salvation. Why the word says, take salvation and put it on your head like a helmet. For a couple reasons. First of all, like a helmet, salvation. The fact that Jesus has rescued us from sin and death and brought us into his family and called us his own. The fact that our Savior got off his throne, came to earth, and died to buy each one of us back from sin and defeat. Our salvation is something that we wear. It's the crowning garment that we're to wear as we face life. We are called to wear it publicly as a symbol of God's faithfulness to us. There are several vital reasons why we need to display our salvation, or we need to be vocal about the fact that our God saved us in a lost and dying generation. First of all, our salvation protects our head. You know, the mind is a battleground where thoughts and doubts and temptation arise. The helmet of salvation acts as a safeguard, protecting our mind from the attacks of the enemy. Are there any wrestlers in the room? No one? Oh, okay. Well, then you'll have to take my word for it. We had a saying. I wrestled in middle school and early high school. And we had a saying in the wrestling team when we were doing practice and stuff. We had a phrase. It says, control the head and you control the body. If you can control the head, you can control where the body goes. Right actions always follow right thinking. When our focus, believers, is on a God that saved us, that directs our behaviors. Folks, right actions always follow right thinking. The Word of God says in Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, that his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Folks, when we keep our salvation at the forefront of our mind, we protect our head and we protect our bodies. We protect our actions by what we do. So folks, put salvation on to protect your thinking. Secondly, it preserves our direction. When we remember and are confident in our salvation, we really understand its values. It orients us towards God's mission of rescuing others. The enemy would love to attack our head, disorient us, and cause us to turn from God. He'd love for us to go in a direction that's not towards a Savior. He would love for us to become disoriented. By firmly grasping the truth of salvation, believers can filter our thoughts We can discern falsehoods, and we can align our thinking with the principles of God's word. The helmet of salvation equips believers to have a renewed and transformed mind, enabling us to resist the enemy's schemes and embrace a biblical worldview. Thirdly, putting on our salvation like a helmet allows us to declare our identity. Our salvation ensures that we know who we are and that others know who we are. By remembering our salvation and the price paid for us, we stay focused on who we are in Christ. And then finally, when we wear salvation on the top of our heads like a helmet, when we declare it to everybody, we are celebrating God's goodness to us. Our salvation in Christ should be a constant theme of our communication to other people. We share our faith starting with a declaration of God's saving work in our lives. So I'm going to read a passage out of Psalm 107, verses 2 to 8. If you have your Bibles and want to flip over there, please do. But I want this to be a challenge to us, Psalm 107. I want this to be a challenge to us as we consider wearing our salvation like a helmet. It says this in verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that he has redeemed them from the power of the foe. And he has gathered them from the lands, from the east and the west, from the north and the south. Some wandered in the desolate wilderness, finding no way to the city where they could live. They were hungry and thirsty, and their spirits failed within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. He led them by the right path to go to the city where they could live, and he let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. That passage starts with, let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim it. So, our challenge as we consider taking up the helmet of salvation is, do you wear it proudly like a helmet? Do you let the people in your life, do the people in your life know that you're a believer? Does your family know that you're a believer? That you've been saved by Jesus? Do your coworkers know who you belong to? When you face all of life's situations, do you go, I've been saved. I belong to the Savior. Does it protect where your thinking goes and the decisions that you make? The fact that you've been saved by a good God. Does that change the direction and the focus of your life? How well known is it that you are a believer in Jesus Christ? Or is that one of your best kept secrets? There's a reason why our salvation is to be on top, where everybody can see it. So I want to challenge you with that. Are you wearing your salvation like a helmet where everybody can see it? All right. Our final piece of the armor, the passage in Ephesians 6 goes on to say, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. So firefighters have a broad variety of tools at our disposal. We have a lot of things that we get off the truck. So a lot of saws. We have a lot of saws, a lot of ladders, a lot of things like pike poles, very long poles with hooks on the top of them, where we can pull down, ceilings and tear into stuff looking for hot spots. But if you ask any firefighter what their favorite tool to grab off the truck is, they're going to tell you the irons. The irons, or sometimes we call them the married pair. It's made up of a Halligan bar, a very heavy steel tool called a Halligan bar, and the ubiquitous fire axe. These are every firefighter's favorite tools. There's a couple reasons why we love these tools. They're offensive. These are tools we use to smash stuff. Okay? They're portable. They have different tools on them to help us pry things open. These have they're called adds on it, that hook right there. You can actually put this on the ground, drop kick it into a wall, and use it as a ladder to climb up out of a window. You can use this, the most biggest use of it is you jam this wedge into a door frame, and you just simply lift against this pokey adz, and it pops the door out. I was going to have Rob, he's got a whole big steel door that we use to practice this with, but would have been a big piece to move in here. So they're extremely durable for high-stress situations. They're sharp. These things are useful for doing these three things. All right, you ready? Smashing your way in, smashing your way out, and smashing anything that needs smashing. Of the tools that the word says to put on, it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Here's the point. That's the only piece of the armor that's offensive. It's meant for destroying stuff, okay? Here's the other thing that's important to remember. We never go anywhere without a tool. We never go into interior, we never do an interior attack without taking a tool with us. We never go anywhere without an offensive tool. So if you ever see a firefighter entering a smoky building, I guarantee he's always carrying probably an axe or a Halligan. This is why it's illustrative of the Word of God. The irons are extremely useful at demolishing stuff. They're built for that. The Word of God is the thing that we carry to smash arguments that draw people away from God. I want to share with you a passage of Scripture. It's found in 2 Corinthians 10. And it says this. I want you to hear this. Since the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds, we demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. The enemy's main tactic, folks, is deception. He builds these walls of deception in our hearts and in our minds. It's the word of God that we use to smash open that deception and expose the truth. It's absolutely critical that we realize that God's word is the weapon that empowers us to go on the offensive against the enemy's lives. Firefighters study and practice many strategies for using these tools to breach and demolish. The believer must learn and fine-tune their use of God's word. If you feel like you're constantly being lied to by the enemy, or you're being taken captive by false thoughts, or you believe that you're falling to sin's deceit and temptation over and over and over again, I guarantee it's because you're not taking God's word and smashing stuff. Do we do that? Do we use the weapons of our warfare to demolish strongholds? What strongholds are you demolishing in your life right now? First of all, you need to carry God's word because it's what we use to send the enemy running. It's a powerful weapon to counter his attacks and offense and deceptions. We can confront falsehoods and point to the truth. We bring the hope of the gospel to a lost, and the word of God provides us access. Some of us need to use the word of God to smash open some doors in our hearts that we have left closed. Secondly, we need to use the word of God to demolish some things. We need to demolish without a vital knowledge of God's word, we wouldn't be equipped to demolish and tear open and see what's underneath. Some of us have doors in our life that we don't want to know what's on the other side. How many of y'all, when you have people over to your house, you clean up the living room and you throw everything in a closet? Okay? You're like, I hope they just don't go into that bedroom. Does anyone have a that bedroom at home? Well, it's like that in our lives. It's all fine when we show up at church like this and we look nice and we look like we're well-prepared and everything put together. But if people were really to look into our life, they'd realize that we've got a lot of this stuff swept under the carpet and thrown into a closet. And folks, if I'm being honest, it's probably each one of us is willing to admit there's a room in our heart that we don't want the Lord looking in. We would be embarrassed to realize and to display what's in there. Folks, we need to take the word of God to demolish that door and smash those strongholds that exist inside of it. Thirdly, we use the irons to provide us with navigation, and the word of God provides us with vital navigation. The irons provide access into a blocked entrance and create an exit. When we get trapped, we carry these things so that we can make ourselves a way out. God's word is what centers us and keeps us heading in the right direction, though the enemy would like to block nothing more than to block us as we go on mission for him. Fourth, transformation. The irons help us change the construction of a room. The word of God helps us transform our minds and our hearts. It penetrates us deeply and exposes sinful thoughts and desires. It corrects us and redirects us, and it leaves us different. God's word provides transformation in our hearts. And finally, like I alluded to before, we carry these things for an escape. Some of you in this room feel trapped right now. Whether it's temptation, whether it's some thought that you can't get rid of, whether it's some relationship that keeps dragging you down, some situation that you're facing, the best word to describe how you would describe your situation is you feel trapped. When God's word, when we open God's word, it allows us to make a way out. Some of us feel trapped because we've not been applying truth to the situations of our life. So I would encourage you, take up the sword of the Spirit, God's word, and start smashing some stuff. Folks, you got stuff to smash in your life? I bet you do. Take hold of God's word and start destroying some of those strongholds. Demolish any argument or anything that rises up against the knowledge of God. Are you taking every thought captive? When a thought comes to your head, when the enemy tempts you, when doubt creeps in, when fear gets a hold of you, are you smashing that stronghold and taking it captive with God's word? The enemy likes to build walls with lies. And like blocks, he stacks one little deception on top of another until we can't see the goodness of God on the other side. And maybe that's where you are. You're here this morning and you're going, I don't know if God's that good, because those little lies have stacked up in your life. I encourage you, open God's word and start smashing some strongholds in your life. Here's the deal. And this is my application as we close. All this gear that we've shown you this week and last week, the bunker gear alone, the boots, the coat, the pants, the helmet, weighs about 25 pounds. When you put a pack on, that's another 25 pounds. By the time you're wearing the full gear and you've got the irons in one hand and you've got a hose in the other, you're huffing around somewhere between 70 and 90 pounds of gear. Nobody wears it for comfort. It's heavy, it's hot, it doesn't breathe very well, it usually stinks a little bit. There's a foil liner in there to keep the heat in, so it really seals in the flavor. Okay? If I handed you a set of bunker gear and said, put this on, you're going to love it. It's going to be comfortable. Everyone will think you're cool. You'll put it on for a minute. You'll take a photo for your Snapchat. And then you're going to take it off because it's not that comfortable always. But if I handed you all this gear and said, yes, it's stinky, it's heavy, it's not very comfortable, but your attic's on fire and we don't have a way out, I guarantee you're going to put that stuff on and there's nothing that's going to let you take that off. Maybe the armor of God that we've studied the last couple weeks doesn't matter much to you. And it might be because you're not necessarily convinced you're in danger. I took a very, very long CPL class last night. How many of you have taken that class? That's 8 hours of my life I'll never get back. But there was one thing that came out of it. The most dangerous gun owner is one who's complacent, right? When you no longer respect a firearm, that's when you get hurt. Some of us maybe are not inclined to put on this armor of God. When we're looking at all six of those pieces, we go, I'm not going to put any, I don't need any of that. It's because you're not necessarily convinced you're in danger, and you're complacent. You're complacent, and that's the enemy's attack on you. You know what every victim thinks the moment before they become a victim? I'm okay. I'm all right. This is safe. I'm fine. Nothing can hurt me. And then the unimaginable happens because they weren't prepared. Folks, this is my challenge to you. I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes right now and think about this for a second. We have talked about six different things that you need in your life to gear up. We talked about how you need to learn the truth, wear it like a belt around your waist so that you can be tactical and agile, respond to the things that come up in life. We talked about living right and how that becomes body armor for you to keep you away from the destructiveness of sin. We talked about the gospel, to put it on like boots so that we can go and step into the messiness of people's lives with the truth of salvation. We talked about faith being a shield, that we need to shield ourselves with a deep relationship with God, prayer, reading the Word, getting to know Him, spending time with Him, having a real relationship with the Creator. We talked today about putting salvation up front, letting it protect your head, letting it tell everybody who you really are. And we talked about the offensive weapons, to take weapons and smash deceptions that the enemy's thrown at you. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to ask yourself, who are you today? Who am I? Have I been living my life as a victim? Unprepared for what the world's coming at me, unprepared for the enemy's attacks? Have I been living complacently where I think it doesn't really matter? It's not a big deal. And then the next thing you know, you're being wounded and destroyed by the enemy's lies. Maybe your faith this morning is a little shaky. You don't know quite what you believe. And that's because little deceptions have piled up on top of each other. And now you're wounded. Maybe you're willing to admit this morning you're a bystander. You've been passive in your walk with Jesus. You'll go to church on a Sunday morning. Maybe put a little in the offering plate. But as far as a real relationship with a Savior, you can't really point to anything that says that you have one. You're just floating by trying to sidestep the reality of the enemy's deceptions. In fact, probably, if you were being honest, maybe you're willing to admit that the enemy's not trying to attack you because you're not much of a threat. Can I encourage us all today to maybe just think about one of those pieces of armor that we need to put on, whether it's the truth, whether it's faith, whether it's the gospel, whether it's salvation, maybe the Word of God. Pick at least one piece of armor to put on. Because the difference between a rescuer and a victim is one who's prepared and one who's using the tools at their disposal. Folks, these are tools that we can use. Pick up some of this armor and gear up. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us that you don't want us as believers to be victims or passerbys. Father, you don't have for us a life of passiveness. You have a life of action for us as believers. It's your plan for us is not to meander through life trying to just sidestep little deceptions here and there and live a life of self-preservation. But Father, instead you've called us to be on mission with you to save a lost and dying generation. Father, for the one in this room that has not yet accepted Jesus, I pray that they surrender their heart to you today. And they take up this armor so that they can live, Father, on mission for you. That you they realize today that you have called them to something so much greater. God, may we all live worthily of the honor of being called your children. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.